So, children are dismissed right now, ages 4 to 11. Forgive me. That was supposed to happen, like, right there as I was walking up, so. Another misstep, you know, I'm getting there. So we all know babies are born every day, right? Every human life is a gift. Scripture says children are a gift from God. So every human life is a gift. But in thinking about Christmas time and thinking about this message, what makes the birth of Jesus different? What makes the birth of Jesus so exceptional, so unforgettable, and much more miraculous? It's a great question to ask ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I was born, like 20 years ago, actually 42, my birthday's this Saturday, but when I was born, there were not hundreds of prophecies foretelling the specific details of my life, such as who I would be, what I would do, when I would arrive, where I would be born. And there weren't any signs in the heavens, such as a particular or peculiar bright star in the eastern sky to mark the location of my birth, or the glory of the Lord appearing with a heavenly host of angels to shepherds who were simply keeping watch over their flock by night. And I certainly was not immaculately conceived. If you saw my biological dad, by the way, you would see instantly that we share the same genetics. So, yep. And as far as I know, there were not angels speaking to both my mom and dad at my birth or before my birth, telling them not to fear, although they probably should have if they knew what was coming. We all have a story, right? And no, I wasn't sought after for months. I was not worshipped by powerful magi or wise men. Nor was I presented with very costly gifts, significant gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it certainly wasn't me who reset the calendar of human history some 2,000 years ago. Maybe not for me or for any one of us here, but this is all true of the Christ of Christmas. It's all true of the Christ of Christmas. So around Christmas time, often we go back. We kind of already been doing that maybe the last week or two. In a lot of the songs, there's a lot of prophecies, messianic prophecies, foretelling of the Savior. So there's so many. There really is so many. I'm just going to focus on one right now. One example, another example, from the prophet Isaiah, which I'm sure we've seen on Christmas cards. It's out there. This is the time we remember always. It says in Isaiah 7:14. And Isaiah, by the way, this prophecy was approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus. He said in Isaiah 7, verse 14, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. I like how in Matthew 1:23, he helps us out. God helps us out because it actually adds, which is translated God with us. You know, it's very special for every one of us, very meaningful. The fact that, again, the God of creation, the God of heaven would come to dwell within us, be among us. This is our God. This is the marvel. This is the great mystery and wonder of Christmas. What did the angels say? So the prophets said a lot, but what did the angels say? In the Gospels of Luke and Matthew, for example, the angels were very active. They were very active in proclaiming to Mary and to Joseph and to the shepherds, speaking to them about Jesus before he was born. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 23. So to Mary, this is what the angel said. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." All before Christ was born, all before Christ was born, God was already speaking it out. He was making very clear. And a little bit further down in verse 34, Mary's response to the angel. She said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring, or the holy child, shall be called the Son of God." And that same, like I shared last week, I've been reading through Luke 1 and Luke 2, just kind of soaking it in, just kind of letting it fester within my soul and my mind. Verse 37 just jumps out. It says, the angel says, "For nothing with God will be impossible." Nothing will be impossible with God. And that's a promise, by the way, not just for them, but for every one of us. You know, that he's still unchanging in his ability to do the impossible. Please know that. Please know that. You know, this is our God. This is our God. So what did the angel say to Joseph? Right? This guy wrestling with the whole, like, she's pregnant, but like, I haven't even been with her yet. What do I do with this? Like, I'm out. I'm out. Yeah, I get stoned or something. Like, the customs of the day, I mean, no way would this be tolerated. God had to do something really big to get Joseph's attention to let him go through with this, by the way. So Matthew chapter 1 kind of lets us know how God spoke to him. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Yeah. So God got his attention. God will get our attention too. Sometimes in wild, strange, peculiar ways, when God wants to speak to us, he will. He's definitely doing it to Joseph right now. And praise the Lord that Joseph received the word of the Lord, received the word of the Lord, and followed through. So to the shepherds, what did the angel say? In Luke 2, verse 10 to 12. Luke 2, verse 10 to 12. The angel said once again, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for who? For all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." So again, you see the activity of the angels. God speaking, you know, to declare and to decree, to proclaim, the Messiah is about to come, the Messiah is about to be born. Get ready, get ready. So it's interesting how in each of these examples, what did the angels say repeatedly? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And by the way, don't ever be afraid to respond to Christ when he's calling you, when he's drawing you, whatever it is. When you hear his voice, when he's speaking to you, don't ever be afraid. Always respond to him. Always respond to him. You and I are so greatly loved by the God who made us. By the God who made us. And he desires for every one of us to know him personally. That's what the Christmas theme is all about, and why we celebrate, why we remember. So the good news of great joy, the good news, is that Jesus is the Savior, not just of Israel, but of all people, was the prophecy. All people. No one is excluded from his love. Often what I observe every Christmas, maybe certain traditions, that's kind of the emphasis. You see Jesus as a baby in the manger. And it's very appropriate. We should remember that, yeah, like, this is God come down to become flesh, to incarnate himself, the God Emmanuel come with us, as a baby, in a manger. And it's very appropriate to recall these marvelous realities surrounding his birth. But guess what? He's not in the manger anymore. And he's no longer on the cross. And he's no longer in the grave. He's our resurrected king. He's a resurrected king who is now seated high above all rule and authority. So again, the Savior, the baby, was the king. The king of angels. The king of angels came down. So he's the king. Even death couldn't hold him. So he was born to die for you, for me. So that's the marvel. That's the wonder of this mystery of why we celebrate and remember Christmas. God's great love for us. So think about this, though. Recall the prophecies about Jesus. Think about some what might come to mind when you hear about the messianic prophecies of Jesus. Some of them we've already read up here. We probably sang about. Jesus being our Emmanuel, right? One of the prophecies, God with us. And his name being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. His name shall be called Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. He is the Holy Child, the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Bless you. And he left all the glories of heaven. Chew on this now. He left all the glories of heaven to come meet with us. He came for one reason, to be our Savior, to rescue us from the problem of sin. And it is a problem, by the way. It's a problem. We don't like that word. It's taboo, right? You say that word in culture, like, ooh, you know, sin, you know? But if we're honest with ourselves, and we're really real with ourselves, we know our tendency. We know our tendency is often not to do what God's best is, what God desires for us. You know, so yeah, we have a problem. Humanity has a problem. You know, we want to be independent creatures who live independently of our Creator. And it's just not possible. It'll only lead to a road that leads to destruction, quite honestly. Like, we all know this. We all know this. So Jesus was born to be our Savior. He left the glories of heaven to rescue us from the problem of sin in our lives and to restore our relationship with God. So as we contemplate this, as we reflect on this truth, Jesus gave up a crown of glory for a crown of thorns. That image just gave me goosebumps the other day when I was just thinking about that. And maybe we'll focus more on that next week. He left the splendor of his throne in heaven to be born in the least desirable of places, a stinky, smelly, undesirable stable with lots of animals, with no place to lay his head, the scripture says. He went from being the greatest of all as God the Son to becoming the least as the son of a poor carpenter from Nazareth, a town with a bad reputation, which the chitter-chatter of the day was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He went from receiving adoration from an angelic host in heaven to eventually being spit on, ridiculed, pierced, hung to die on a cross for you. That's his great love. That's his great love. Amen. This is the Christ of Christmas, who has made forgiveness of sin, redemption, and new life, eternal life, available to all who believe in him. So what about you? Have you welcomed him into your heart? Have you welcomed him into your heart? Christmas not only marks the miraculous and historical events surrounding Jesus' birth, but this is also a time to remember that Jesus the Savior is God's gift to us. It's a gift. God's gift to us. Many of you are probably familiar with the scripture, John 3:16, right? We hear it a lot. We hear it a lot. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. That's the promise. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world at his first advent, but that the world might be saved through him. Saved through him. So some may ask, saved from what? Saved from what? I've actually been in that conversation. Maybe some of you have. Saved from what? Saved from what? Life is good for me. Saved from what? What's Jesus going to do for me? When we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, and we'll receive God's word and what he says. Jesus came to save us from death itself, the curse of death. Jesus came to save us from a time of coming judgment. He came the first time not to judge, the scripture says. But the scripture also says there will be a time coming when he will come as judge. Save from the power of sin in our lives. Save from a sense of hopelessness and despair when you feel trapped, powerless, crippled. Jesus saves us. He gives us hope to overcome, to find new hope, to find new victory because of his victory. He's the greatest gift ever given. This is Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The good news is that through his sacrifice on the cross, he made a way for us to receive his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, and the promise of eternity with him. This is the good news. If you haven't received that gift, now is the time. We know that life is very fragile. At any moment, all that we have can be taken away. Again, if we're honest, this false sense of security that we think, or this perceived sense of security we think we have in this world, at any moment could be taken away. You know, this isn't a fear-driven message. This is just reality. Again, when we're honest, we know this. Life is fragile. Your life, my life is fragile. Our family, our friends, societies, governments, economies, nations, everything's fragile. Everything's being shaken up, by the way. And, I'm far from a doom and gloom guy, let me tell you, because I know as believers, we are people of great hope because of the promise of our coming King, Christ. But let me tell you, it's crazy out there. It's crazy out there. It's like the world's going mad, right? Like, anyway. So, when we're honest with ourselves and we say, yeah, like, you know, life is fragile. You know, anything could happen. I want to know that I know that I have a place in heaven with the Lord Jesus. And if that's you, it may start with just saying a simple prayer. You know, God's word says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Our tendency is always, the human tendency in the sin nature of ourselves, the human tendency is always to harden our heart towards God. Like, God speaks what we know is true, what resonates within us, but yet we just don't want to take it because I don't want to give this up. You know what I mean? And what will happen to me if I give this up? But you know what? It involves surrender. Salvation involves surrender. It involves letting go. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't wait for another opportunity. We might not have it. So if God is speaking to you as he spoke to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, proclaiming, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If Jesus is calling you, do not be afraid. Respond to him. You know, in your own way, in your personal way. But here's a prayer to consider, to make it heartfelt before the Lord. It needs to involve saying, Jesus, I believe. I believe in who you are as the Son of God. I believe in all that you have done for me. And I want to know you more. I want to know you more as both Savior and Lord. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. Every gift has to be received, right? We know this. We've probably heard it plenty of times. You know, the gift of Christmas, we have to receive it. The gift of salvation, we have to receive it. The gift of God's mercy and grace, we have to receive it. Tell the Lord, I've fallen short. I've fallen short of your ways. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for giving your life for me, for paying the penalty for my sin that I can never pay. And tell him, I accept the gift of your salvation and I welcome your spirit now to live inside of me. When you pray that prayer, when you truly pray that prayer, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. The Spirit of God enters in. You've just received the best gift any human person could ever receive. Because with it comes a hope that is far beyond all that we experience in this life. And it's like a reunion with our Creator, like a reuniting with our Creator. You know, and that's the most beautiful thing, that we can know God personally, not some distant deity that's far off that, you know, we view as some image on a set of dead stone or wood. You know, this is a living God who gives us a living hope through His living word. And He wants us to live. Jesus came to give us life. You know, not just eternal life, but life abundantly now. Even through the sorrow. Even through the sorrow. That's what that's what's been on our hearts lately, right? Like, talking about the present peace of Christ. Or even sometimes our circumstances don't change. There's still a peace of Christ that is a strength to us. So there's life that God gives us now. There's strength that God gives us now. His grace can uphold us now before we get to glory. Before we get to glory. So this is why we celebrate Emmanuel. He's with us. He's with us. Amen. He's with us. So nothing else compares to this. Nothing else compares. And if you have questions about that, if you really truly do want to pray that, or you've just prayed that in some way, talk to someone. Talk to me. I encourage you to. We have people here who want to come alongside you in this journey, in your walk with Christ. Because we all need each other. We all get hit in many different ways. You know, life isn't perfect. It is broken, right? And I prayed that prayer when I was 19, and my life's never been the same. By God's grace, it's never been the same. You know, that's when Christ captured my heart. You know, and I had my salvation moment with repenting of my sin, acknowledging that Jesus was truly not just my Savior, but also my Lord. You know, sometimes we want to keep Jesus as the baby. We want to keep Jesus just as Savior, but He's also our Lord. He's the one that every one of us will answer to one day. You know, we give an account for our lives. Like, that's the King of Glory, the King. We stand before Him. You know, and for believers, by the way, it's not a time of judgment. It's a time of reckoning, accounting. You know, the world will be judged, but we will give an account to God. We will give an account to Christ for the things that we have done and how faithful we were with what He has given to us, right? As stewards of all that He entrusts to us. Anyway, so yeah, I was 19, and my life's never been the same. My life's never been the same. I remember fully the sense of hopelessness and despair that I had for so many years. And another time I'll share my testimony. But yeah, that God is real. If you have doubts about Him, just know that He is very, very real. And He loves you so much. And He longs for you to know Him, to live for Him. You don't have to go and cope. Don't just cope in life. We don't have to cope. We don't have to be a people who just cope and get by in life. We can have life abundantly, not alone, with each other. With God, our Emmanuel, Christ at the center of it all. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. So for all of us here this morning, whatever your struggle, whatever you may be going through right now, the simple message is this. Welcome in. Welcome in. Receive in. Welcome in the Christ of Christus. Welcome in the Christ of Christmas. Welcome in His peace. Welcome in His comfort. Welcome in His love. Welcome in His very presence as Emmanuel. Jesus is the good news of great joy. Jesus is the good news of great joy. And if you've already received that gift of eternal life, you've already prayed that prayer, then let's be like the shepherds and share that good news. Share that good news with the opportunities the Lord gives us. And you know, we all have a sphere of influence around us that the Lord places us in, and we're called to be lights in the midst of those places and those relationships. But yeah, like He's called us to proclaim. He's called us to proclaim and to live out what we believe, you know, not just say we believe it and we do the church thing twice a year, right? It's like, no, like God is so actively pursuing every one of us in a daily inner working relationship with Himself that just liberates us and releases us out into His purpose for every one of us, a specific and unique calling for every one of us. You know, He wants to use us in a great, powerful way to make Himself known. So Jesus is the greatest gift. He is the greatest gift anyone could ever receive. And this Christmas, we are reminded of that. Let's pray. Please stand with me. Jesus, we stand before you as the King. You are the King of Kings. You are the King of Angels. The King of Angels. Wow. Wow. And yet you love us. You love us. So thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to be obedient to the Father's will and being sent to die, to be sent to die for us, every one of us, for laying down your life for us. God, we marvel at your great love, your kindness that has led us to repentance, your kindness, your goodness, the mercy that we have received. And Lord, I just trust, God, that something here in your word has spoken to us today, God, and that we would take this into this week, Lord, with joy, even through the pain, God, even through the bewilderment and the perplexing situations some of us are facing right now. God, we know that there's a peace within us, Lord, that helps us stand strong in you. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being our King, eternal, our King forevermore. And we want to adore you with our lives, not just with our lips, but in our deeds as well. So bless your people, Lord. Bless your church and continue to make yourself known through us, Lord. May we be faithful to do that, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen.